Good morning again. Thank you so much for being with us today. You know, if one were to consider words as being people, in the world of literature, there are kings and queens and princes and princesses among words. I think one of the great royal phrases that was ever written down by any writer was the phrase, to be or not to be, written by William Shakespeare. I think we've all heard the phrase. We've heard it in a million different contexts. At some point in school, at some point, probably we all had to read Hamlet. And we perhaps have even seen the movie and a million other derivations of it in our lives. And always the phrase, to be or not to be, gets repeated. It's like the king of phrases that William Shakespeare ever wrote. And of course, it's a very deeply packed and just filled phrase, to be or not to be. He's saying, do I take action? And if in taking that action, I undo the whole of my life, but in taking that action, I justify the fact that I exist? Or do I not take action and just let my life continue on as it was, but in that act of not taking action, make everything that I am and everything that I do worthless? To be or not to be? And this is the question that begins to dominate poor Hamlet's life in this play. And of course, he chooses to be. And everything that he was afraid of that would happen, the undoing of his life, the unraveling of his existence, even his own death, all of the things he was afraid of do in fact happen. To be or not to be, though, is a question that we all face on a daily basis when we try to make difficult decisions. Do we do this thing or do we do that thing? Do we do this thing that we don't want to do but we know will be a positive outcome, or do we not do that thing that we don't want to do even though we know that it's going to become something of a problem for us? To be or not to be? It's a question we face all the time. But I think there's a false dichotomy within the faith, because I think sometimes we human beings want to say to ourselves, to believe or not to believe. That is a fundamental struggle that we as human beings have. Do we believe in God? Do we have faith? Or do we not? As though somehow on this other side, there is this absence of faith and belief that is possible for human beings. That's where the false dichotomy comes in. See, it's not actually possible for humans to leave that box in our soul empty. Every last person who draws breath has faith. Every last person who's alive and living believes. Now, maybe they believe in God. Maybe they believe in Jesus Christ. Maybe they believe in the promises that come through God in Jesus Christ. Or maybe they believe in the things of this world. Maybe they believe in their own appetites. They believe in their own successes. They believe in their own isms. They believe, well, this world's full of a lot of faiths, actually. Many, many more than we give it credit for. And the simple fact of the matter is, as an act of being human, we can never make the choice to believe or not to believe. The only choice that we can make, and this is the way we're built, it's the way we're created, the only choice we can make is whether or not we are going to believe in God, or whether we're going to reject that belief in God and instead have faith in ourselves or the things of this world. And Jesus and the scriptures in general tell us over and over and over again that faith in God, belief in God, belief in God's truth, belief in God's authority and sovereignty, and of course, belief in God's grace is the path to life. But belief in the sovereignty of this world, belief in the notion that the things of this world can bring us wholeness, the scriptures tell us over and over again, is ultimately a path to death. The one brings life, the other one brings death. One brings righteousness, the other one brings sin. So Jesus is facing the crowd. And I've been telling you all for weeks now that there is going to come a point in Jesus' ministry where the tide begins to turn, where all of the crowds that have been following him, who are so happy to be his disciples, so happy that they follow him wherever he goes, whether he wants them to or not, will suddenly lose their happiness with him. Why is that? The answer is very simple. He asked them to believe. Not that they were not believers before, but he asked them to believe in something different. We don't like it when the world around us changes. We don't like it when we're asked to change in the face of the world. We really don't like it when God asks us to change what we believe about truth, what we believe is true. So the people come to Jesus and they say to him, basically, we want some more free stuff. You know, we want more signs. We want more proofs. We want more miracles. We want more stuff. Because remember, he has just fed the 5,000. They looked at basically the lunchbox worth of stuff that he had in his hands, just a handful of loaves and a handful of fish that he fed 5,000 with, and they've said to each other, if he can do that once, why can't he do that three times a day? Why do we ever have to work again? Why do we ever have to struggle again? Why do we ever have to ask ourselves, what do we eat again? And so they come to him and they say, when we were in the wilderness, Moses, our ancestor, gave us free food every day. And there came to be on the ground manna from heaven. And we ate that every day and we never had to think, what am I going to eat? Can't you do the same for us? And Jesus has been consistently giving them things they needed. They needed health. He gave them health. They needed food. He gave them food. But now they're not asking him for something they need. Now they're asking him for something they want. And why do they want it? Well, they want it for the same reason humans want things all the time. Because we believe that those things will bring us joy. That those things will bring us safety. That those things will bring us security. That those things will bring us fulfillment. And of course, they come to Jesus with a fairly basic want. They want lunch. They want a free meal. They say, if we have this thing, we believe this thing will make us happy. We believe this thing will make us feel whole. Now, Jesus is not in the business of fulfilling human wants. He is in the business of fulfilling human needs. And so he says to them, well, first of all, Moses did not give your ancestors food in the wilderness. Moses was just a person. Your Father in heaven gave the Israelites food in the wilderness. And it kind of goes without saying, I suppose, that God in heaven gave the Israelites food in the wilderness. Otherwise, well, they'd have starved to death. It was the wilderness. There was nothing out there. But that's not the case. They're right now on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, the greenest, most fertile, most livable part of all of Israel. This is not a place where it is an emergency that if Jesus doesn't provide them with daily bread, they'll die. So they say to Jesus, give us stuff. We think this stuff will make us happy. We think this stuff will make us whole. We think this stuff will bring us life. This is our belief. And Jesus turns it around on them. He says, how about this instead? How about instead you have faith in me? How about you believe in me, and I will be the bread of heaven. I will be the water that brings life to your soul. How about you have faith in me instead of in things? Now, the scripture passage for today kind of cuts off before this happens, but I think you can kind of imagine how the crowds react. First they say, well, fine, give us this bread and water that keeps us from ever being hungry or thirsty again. And of course, Jesus has to explain that this is for your soul, not your body. And people become irate. They become very unhappy that Jesus hasn't given them the thing that they believe in. Instead, he asks them to shift and believe in him. We live in a world that constantly demands that we believe. And what does it mean to believe? To believe means to trust something as true. To trust something as true and to have faith in that truth as being a saving truth. And Jesus says to the people there who are gathered around him, bread is fine, but it's not truth. Water is fine, but you shouldn't have faith in it. A piece of fish is fine, but it's not going to bring you any more life than just any old food, whereas the bread of heaven that comes down will bring you life eternal. We live in a world that will continue to offer us bread and water and fish and say, hey, take these things and it will be your truth. And humans will make a truth out of anything. We'll make a truth out of a generation. Oh my gosh, I get so tired sometimes about how here boomers behave this way, millennials behave that way, Gen X behaves this way. Maybe there are some similarities within those generations, but it's not truth. It's not something that we can base our lives on in a way that actually gives us life. If anything, it's just a step up from a silly horoscope. Because there are people who behave completely differently than their so-called generation. Likewise, we can make a truth out of politics. She's a Democrat. He's a Republican. She's a progressive. He's a neocon. Are those things truths? Well, there might actually be valid, useful ideas on both sides. But if we turn those things into truths, being a Democrat's the only truth. I believe in that. Being a Republican's the only truth. I believe in that. We make that into a truth, then everything that's on the opposite side must be false. We cut ourselves off from thinking because we have allowed this world's things to become truths. When in fact, they're just things. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. We're free to choose among the things of this world that which is good and to reject the things of this world that are bad. But it doesn't make them truths. God in heaven, and only God in heaven, is our truth. This is what Jesus was saying to these people on this day. Accept me as what you have faith in. Accept me as what you believe in. And I will lead you into all truth. Or stay with the fish and the loaves of this world. And one day they will simply lead you into death. 2,000 years have gone by and the choice is no different. Where do we put our faith? Where do we put our belief? In things of this world or in things of heaven?